So where are they doing the WRF workshop? At the community center? Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. We don't have all of our audiovisual equipment going tonight, so if there's any hiccups, we'll blame it on the people back there. Welcome to the February 21st, 2017 regular meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. Let the record reflect that all commissioners are present, and the meeting is called to order, and we will begin our meeting with a moment of silence, please. Thank you, and if you'll rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry.
We'll take a few weeks off.
Okay. I told you, it's their fault. This is a side we have. This is the time we have set aside for planning commissioner announcements. Are there any announcements this afternoon? I would let everybody know that there will be an additional general plan advisory committee meeting on March 8th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Veterans Hall. So those of you who are interested in the new general plan and would like to participate in that process, please show up. We'd love to see you. If there are no other announcements, then we'll move on to public comment period. This is a period set aside for public comment on really any item at all. If there's anyone who'd like to speak to the commission tonight, please come forward, give us your name, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, seeing none, then we will proceed on to our consent calendar, which consists tonight of...
I'm slow.
Okay.
I got the notice and put a clean shirt on. Standing up straight. My name is Daryl Dobson. I live at Island Street. I don't know the distribution, but I originated something like this and tried to futilely get it filtered to you. But it's an overview of a chronology of the paint shop. It's changed its nature on Jamaica Street, which is... Am I jumping the gun?
Yes, this is an item on the agenda. So first...
I'll back off.
Right.
Just say get up and talk now.
Couple minutes. Thank you.
Won't be long. Okay, so then moving on to the consent calendar, tonight we have our current and advanced planning processing list and approval of the minutes from December 6th and December 20th of 2016. Are there any comments or questions or issues with the consent calendar? Then do we have a motion?
Move we accept.
I second it.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. So we will move on then to public hearing. Our first public hearing item this evening is item B1, case number UP0-468 concerning auto bodybuilders. This is at
340 Jamaica.
340 Jamaica. Thank you very much. And we have a recommendation for continuance. This is, however, a public hearing, so we won't have a staff report, but this is a public hearing item. So I would like to open it up for the public comment.
give me the pleasure standing here. I'm not anti-small business, but paint shops have a place in our culture and not in my residential area. A long time ago, I notified Brian Unger for the APCD over in San Luis Obispo, and I told him that, frankly, the body shop had changed from part-time situation where a guy named Bob and his daughter worked there 3 days a week, very low-key. But the nature of the body shop has changed since Bob retired, whether that's new, the leaser or owner or management of the body shop is now a full production. And from my back slider on my bedroom to that wall and up here is an exhaust fan that comes off of a paint booth. This is what we've done at 8 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, since almost a year. The compressor, an industrial compressor, comes on and disrupts my peacefulness. And when they start painting, I paint, I smell fumes of paint. David Crockett has been out. David has been my right-hand man guiding me through this. David said essentially what I learned a long time ago, in whatever fashion you can, document. And that's what I tried to do. I hope some of you maybe had an overview of this, but I put this in the mail slot yesterday where you pay your city bill. So David Crockett, I've been, I talked to David lots. David's been out to my house. David's smelled the fumes. Neighbors have smelled the fumes. Friends and family have sit in my home and say, "Oh God, Grandpa, wow." I go, "Yes." My wife and I have flighted from our house. Good thing it's Morro Bay. We can go to the Rock. We can go boogie boarding. We can go to the library. Big time library fans. I retired in the softball field over here. Oddly enough, and this is not about me, this is about pollution. It's about quality of life. I can make more copies. I don't want to bore you all. If you had an overview, you'd say, "Oh, that's what that document was." But this chronology, I have a chronology starting at least last August that I have been pleading for the sake of my quality of life and my health. I'm very blessed to be 67 years old, retired. Tim Windsor in Cambria, the big yellow semi-trucks. I retired from that. I think the reason I haven't went ballistic sometimes is because I have a part-time job. I go into y'all's homes. I head up the Department for Goodwill Industries in San Luis. I go into your homes and I pick your nice furniture and you donate them and I take them back to the warehouse and they get distributed. It's not about me. I'm sorry, I'm talking about me. I'm a member of the community. I played softball here. Oddly enough, I'm getting ramble mouth. You guys cut me off. Say, "Hey, 3 minutes left," or whatever. But the last time I was in this chamber is the year 2000. And my wife and I on the boogie boards and surfboards up where I live by the state beach. And there was some young male Hispanic 20-year-old, not 14-year-old, that went way out there. And I drug a couple of men. And so the chief police and the mayor and whoever else decorated me right here. And I said, "Get a lifeguard. You're lucky there was an old man to take care of it." I'm off to, I wish I could.
Mr. Thompson, you have run over your time. So if you could.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, I am pleading with just common sense. It's just the wrong place. At one time, the body shop was low-key. This is not a restaurant where I smell beans at a Mexican restaurant. This is noxious, toxic fumes from fiberglass, from paint, intrusive, pervasive, hourly clatter of an industrial compressor right there where that television is. Just one wall of wood, chop grade, between me. That's what I got to bring to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Dan. I was sent here on behalf of a property owner on to Island Street as well to speak to the conditional use permit for 340 Jamaica. Little background on myself. I'm a planning commissioner from the city of San Luis Obispo. I was asked to be here because it represented such an intrusion into R1 zoning with this commercial service use that it was somewhat disturbing to me. So I thought I would bring forward a couple concerns of having an auto body shop in an R1 zoned area, specifically being that the noise is in excess. And of course, we've not scientifically measured this because we didn't want to commit a trespass, but in excess of 70 decibels, if I'm understanding the city baseline assessment, would be inappropriate in that neighborhood. And I pulled up some Cal OSHA regulations, and anything in a body shop is assumed to be anywhere from 90 to 100 continuous decibels. Given the removal, we're still above what the city would classify as being an appropriate level of sound. We also think that this use, as approved in 1981, has expanded considerably, and the character of the neighborhood has changed. And I pulled up the Morro Bay Zoning Code 17.56.120E, saying if the use expands, that you cannot re-grant the conditional use permit because it is far beyond what anybody envisioned. Of course, I know that's your discretionary item, but that is at least how we're reading it here. The noxious fumes going by, I believe, if I'm doing my research, and I'm no air quality expert, but I think it's of the type that would be counter to attainment of the air quality for that district. Another couple points that we have here is that there's oftentimes cars and other vehicles parked more than 2 weeks that I think would be in violation of the local ordinance as well. But at the same time, I'm here because the owner was out of town, and originally he believed that this was going to be the decision-making time rather than being continued. And he does want to extend that he's a small business owner as well, and that there he is all for property rights, but the diminution in value of all of the budding properties is costly, and it's getting to the point where that would have to be a disclosure during the sale of a real property, and then the tax basis in each of these properties is being adversely harmed as a result of having this auto body shop nearby, as opposed to making it a peaceful refuge for the residents to enjoy. So we just thought we would bring a couple of those comments forward. In addition, we did a records title search on this, and we found some oddities that it is still, according to the county recorder, a bank-owned property from somewhere in Oregon. Of course, we found this out late enough where we don't have the official records for you, but we are curious why a commercial service-type business is being allowed to continue in a residential area and posing what I believe to be a public nuisance because it adversely impacts every one of the residents, deprives them of the value of their property and the quiet enjoyment of living there. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Evans Cowan. I live on Island Street. I, too, am in opposition to the continued use of this body shop. I believe you guys have in front of you a letter that I wrote, and have maybe reviewed it?
No, sir, not yet, because the item is being may be continued until the next meeting.
Okay, well, I hope you have the opportunity to read my one-page letter. And in such, I also smell the fumes, especially the resins from the fiberglass. I hear the noise, and I think there might be a point, I don't know if it's worth you guys considering, but you're faced with a decision to pick up where prior planning commission and city council people failed to take care of. If this body shop was open in 1981, imagine what that was like back then. There was land all over the place. There was no apartments, there was no homes. Now this body shop is surrounded by homes. And since it's become a full production body shop, whereas before it was just a mom and pop shop, it has increased the amount of noise, increased the amount of toxic fumes that come from that shop, and I smell it on a routine basis. I live on Island Street. So you're faced with doing something that the prior Planning Commission failed to do since 1980 or 1981 when the first conditional use permit was put in place, is you're picking up and cleaning up the mess that they left behind by allowing this body shop to be in business this long without having a conditional use permit in place. So I hope you consider that because this is the wrong place, the wrong time in the wrong neighborhood for this body shop. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak to this item, please? Okay, before I close public comment, are there any questions for staff or for any members of the public? Mike.
When we have the staff report, will we see any record of permits granted for things like replacement equipment or expansion of facilities that went along with the property?
Yes, sir, of course. Okay.
Hey, Joe, I had a friend of mine years ago over in Lompoc area. He did a lot of work, that kind of stuff. Is there some kind of provisions when you have something like this? Do you have a lot of chemicals, you know, that you keep on site? Hazardous materials issues, you know what I'm saying? Like the lockers, they have to have it, all that stuff. So are those going to be pointed out in the report as well?
They will be shown on the site plan. I know that that's part of the fire department's review of the project. There are conditions of approval. You'll see the cage that will hold the chemicals and such.
Okay.
I know that there is a document that was submitted from APCD as well that will speak to some of that stuff additionally.
Okay.
And Joan, I'd just like to ask, do you have a copy of the document that Mr. Dobson spoke of and has with him?
I do not, not yet.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have, I believe he sent a letter earlier. Is this the same letter, sir?
I've sent several letters.
You've sent several. So I think I have two, but I think he indicated that he dropped one off today in the mail slot, so I don't believe I have that in my mailbox yet.
I have it.
So I will look for it. I have it in my notes. I'll get a copy.
Okay.
It shows the officers, if I'm allowed to speak.
Well, I think I'm going to take care of it. So would you just be aware of that document, and if you don't receive it, to get it in our packets, contact Mr. Dobson, and maybe he could give you a telephone number where he'd be available.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So that we could get that. And if you could just give Joan your phone number, just in case she doesn't get it, because it's an office, you know what I'm saying? So that she'll be able to get in touch with you if she doesn't get the copy you dropped off. Okay. Just for the record, I would note that the reason for continuation is that there was a deficiency in noticing on this item, so we can't really legally deal with it tonight. So with that, is there a motion to continue this? And this would be to a date certain, to the March 7th meeting.
I'll move that we continue this item to March 7th, 2017.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion?
Is that your special comment?
No, I'm sorry, sir. Okay. It's closed.
Joan, will this be re-noticed?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, then, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. So then moving on to item number B2, this is case number UP0-467, site location is 2926 Burr Avenue in North Morro Bay, and this is a conditional use permit for an addition to an existing non-conforming single-family residence, and I believe that Joan is going to fill us in on this.
Thank you, Chairman Teft, and hello again, commissioners. So the project before you this evening is a request for conditional use permit and parking exception approval at 2926 Fir Avenue in order to allow an addition of habitable floor area to a non-conforming single-family residence. The proposed project is located within the R1S2 single-family residential zoning district in the Del Mar neighborhood in North Morro Bay. It's on the east side of Highway 1 to the south of Del Mar Park and to the north of San Jacinto. The project requires conditional use permit approval due to the existing non-conforming side yard setback, as well as the existence of inadequate interior garage dimensions. All proposed development has been designed to conform to the requirements set forth in the zoning ordinance. So this is the existing site as it's seen from Fir Avenue. The neighboring residence to the north is a single story, and the adjacent residence to the south is a single story on the front portion of the lot, and two stories in the rear. This is the site plan that shows the proposed single-story 270-square-foot addition that has a rooftop deck, which will be added to the existing 1,491-square-foot residence. This is the first floor plan that illustrates the addition of a bedroom, bathroom, and a new front entryway. The floor plan also illustrates the existing garage parking situation. It was built as it was permitted in 1971, and at that time, the forced air unit and a tank-style water heater were permitted to be built in the two-car garage, which effectively created a usable one-car garage when the house was built in 1971. The applicant proposes to memorialize the location of the required second parking space in tandem in the driveway. That's how they've been utilizing the garage for years at this point. So one car in the garage and one car in tandem in the driveway due to the forced air unit in the back corner. They are proposing to change the tank style water heater to a tankless style water heater on the wall, which would improve some of the interior dimensions, but they're still woefully inadequate. So, let's see. The proposed second floor addition, second floor plan shows the proposed rooftop deck there over the addition on the in the bottom left of that image there. The front or west elevation is in the top left, and the right side or the south elevation is in the bottom right. You can see the proposed addition. So this slide and the following slide show the 3D renderings of the proposed residence and showing its relation to the neighboring homes. Note the second story. The existing second story is adjacent to the one-story home, but the addition is taking into consideration, you know, neighborhood compatibility and the design guidelines in keeping that addition a single story. This is it seen from a slightly different angle. So therefore, it's staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission approve the requested conditional use permit and parking exception through the adoption of Planning Commission Resolution 04-17, subject to the associated findings and conditions of approval. And thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff at this point?
Okay. Joan, is the dimensions didn't say the width of the existing garage?
I believe it's on page 4 of your staff report. So I believe it's 15 feet 6 inches by 17 feet 6 inches, where 20 by 20 clear interior dimensions are the standard.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I already know the answer, but But practically speaking, it's physically impossible to put two cars in that garage.
To put two cars and open your doors, yes, sir.
Okay.
Unless you have really small cars. You know, smart cars would probably fit. Yeah, right.
Joan, this is maybe a bigger picture kind of question. You know, on properties that, like this property, the front of the house is on one street,
a through
the back
lot
of the house on the other street.
Yes, sir.
Is that kind of when you're, as a staff member, when you guys are looking for parking exemptions, do you guys kind of look at that and taking in that those variables into consideration?
Well, in this case, they don't have a driveway approach in the back. So, and the house as it exists now, they would not be able to fit another garage unless they did major reconstruction to the inside of the house.
Uh-huh.
Moving some of those supporting walls and such, just by the way that it was built. So, no. I would say sometimes we would, if there was a drive approach in the back and if there was room to build a tandem garage or, you know, punch out the back wall or something of that nature. But I don't believe in this case that would be the case. It would be... one of the required findings in the parking exception is it would require major reconstruction or something. I'm sorry, I have the verbiage here. Okay.
It. Any other questions from? Joan, it appears from the plans that the interior width of the physical width of the garage is pretty close to 20 feet. It looks like I can see, just measuring from the plans, it looks like I can see...
It's like 19 feet 2 inches.
Yeah, I can see 19 feet.
Well, it's probably interior dimension is less than that. And then there's things in the way.
Right, because of the obstruction. So we would measure to the edge of that forced air unit in the back. If we're holding everyone to the same set of standards, what the clear interior dimensions are. And I'm sorry, on my staff report, I do want to clarify. The existing garage is large enough to accommodate one car with clear interior dimensions of 17 feet 5 inches by 21 feet 3 inches. Where 11 by 20 for a one car garage. So it would be more than sufficient for a one car garage, yet too small for a two car garage.
It looks like Scott's pretty close. It's 19 feet and an inch or two. If the washer and dryer were located somewhere else.
Yeah, if the washer and dryer weren't in the way, Joe. So you're talking about interior dimensions here in the front is what I was looking at. And that's actually even off a little bit because I actually looked at it and it's measuring to a post that's inside that, so... It's a little off, but it's close. Anyway, it's still not the meet the requirement. And then it's got stuff in the way anyway.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. So, yeah.
Is the air conditioning unit at the back of the garage?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If there's no other questions, this is a public hearing, so I will open this up to the public. Typically, we ask the applicant or applicant's representative to speak first, if you'd like to.
Homeowner. My name is Aaron Ganage, the designer, and I think everything's pretty much straightforward except for what you guys were talking about as far as the exact interior width of the garage and what's going on there. But it's, yeah, even if we removed the washer and dryer, everything the way it was built back in the 70s, it might have been per code then, but it's not going to meet the 20 by 20 interior now. So that's about it. If you have any other questions, I can answer them for you.
Any questions for applicant representative? Don't see any at this point.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else who would like to speak to item B2? Seeing none, then we will close public comment, bring it back to, although I was hoping to hear from the young fellow in the
just
back.
Doing the math.
But we'll close public comment, bring it back to the commission. For discussion. Joe, you want to start us off?
I was looking for a way that my first thought was if some of the things that were obstacles in the garage could be economically removed, then that might be a smaller compromise in terms of then doing away with the second parking space being required in the garage. I mean, put in the driveway. I'm always looking for the simplest adjustment to what is a city ordinance. But I don't have a clear understanding at this point if that's true or not. It seems to me that if the hot water tank and AC unit are at the back of the garage, and the garage door is large enough to accommodate two cars, then we should be able to put two cars in there, with perhaps moving the washer and dryer. So I'm still sort of murky.
Jerry?
Well, just to speak to that point, to allow the standard to be adapted for this project would then set precedence for other projects that I don't want to get into that, where we have a mechanism that's been used before to allow a tandem parking in this neighborhood and other projects. So I think that's that would be the cleanest approach to this. You know, just the way staff recommended. So that's getting into discussion, but.
No, this is discussion.
Okay.
Michael?
Yeah, I think the through lot streets are the streets that have the lots that go through the street are pretty unique. I don't see much of a way to accommodate the second car without really getting into a lot of construction. But it certainly seems like in the future there are lots of ways to accommodate it if there was any additional movement on the site. The site is, even with the new square footage, is less coverage than a lot of the neighbors. And you can see by looking, I'm looking at Google Earth, just up and down the street, there's parking that's accessed from both streets in multiple properties. And I think this satisfies me for now. It seems like there's a reservoir for other parking considerations on site without being inside the building if it would seem to be an issue in the future. I just wanted to compliment the designer. I think it's a nice design. I wish you were doing the rest of the house on the outside. Yeah. I think the board products are so much more interesting than the stucco. And I think it's got a lot of things that talk about the scale devices and the design guidelines that we had. And so I'm okay with the staff report.
Yeah, I walked the place, and that was kind of what I was getting at. And I kind of like that it's a marginal addition, and I think you articulated it better than I can, but as far as like if there's any future growth, there is room there on the other side. How you would do it, I don't know, but I mean there is a yard there and stuff like that. And I like what the architect did, so I don't have a issue with the project as well.
I think a parking exception is going to be necessary here regardless, because the physical wall-to-wall dimensions of the garage are still less than 20 feet no matter what you do with the stuff that's in there. However, having said that, you know, the reality is, I think if somebody in the future or these owners in the future really wanted to get two cars into that garage, they probably could do so by rearranging. I mean, a standard parking lot for the city is only 9 feet wide, so it probably would be feasible to do that. There's an awful lot of houses out there that have 20 by 20 foot garages that are where they're filled up with kayaks and old couches, and we don't really regulate what goes on inside that 20 by 20 foot space. So, and in terms of parking from the rear, I agree it's a potential thing in the future if there's more major reconstruction, but there is a 2.5 foot high retaining wall in the backyard, so there's a significant grade issue, and it would require some fairly big construction to make use of that. And this is not a PD overlay, so styling is not an issue really. But I would agree with Michael. I think the siding has more interest to it than the stucco does, and maybe. And this is just a remark, has nothing to do with the decision, but maybe if there was some way to sort of bring some of that into the existing house as trim or something to kind of unify the two of them, it might, you know, be a relatively inexpensive way of integrating the addition with the current house. But with those comments, then I'm prepared to support the conditional use permit and the parking exception.
Just one minor little point. Bedroom 3 is not showing any window. It looks like the new addition has replaced where the window location was. And
yeah, great catch. We already caught that.
Okay.
And yes, there is going to be a window in there for egress.
Well, yeah. It helps the elevation. Plus, I just want to note they took down a deck in the back, so the people who are neighbors, you're actually going to be removing some construction.
Yeah.
From that back.
Yeah. If you've ever been past there, the deck, it's in the back, and there's some roof over it is really rotting and in disrepair. So that part is going to be removed. And a note for you guys. I do work throughout the county, and the city of San Luis Obispo, their interior parking requirements is 18 foot 6 by 18 foot 6, which is obviously different from you guys. So everybody has like a different standard for interior minimums, which is just like a mental note for you guys. Anyway.
I'm really not bothered by the way this decision is going. You, particularly in view of it was originally built to code, and it's bizarre to me that it would be built to code and then at the same time they would approve putting in the hot water tank and the washing machine and the AC, which would immediately make it violate those standards.
The forced air unit and the water heater were shown on the original plans. The original set of plans of approval from 71, we have them on file.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And that in effect violated the
right. The washer and dryer weren't shown there. The washer and dryer were put in sometime afterwards, but I have no idea how it was permitted like that.
Our the
the requirements back then may have been simply for a single car garage.
Yeah.
Ah.
We had. I know that there was different parking requirements back then, and one of the iterations that I've seen had a one car parking requirement, space requirement for some of the areas in town. I don't know if this is one of them. I mean, I know that we had policies that allowed for that,
right.
And it might have been. This might have been one of the areas.
Yeah. So 71 definitely predates our current.
So, but code. The question I have is for future situations that might be a little bit more dicey. Is it such that we have this alternative way of addressing the situation when there's not enough space, basically tandem parking, or can we actually look at the space in the garage and actually make some adjustment to that? I'm thinking in some neighborhoods where we really would not want another car parked in a driveway, or practically speaking, parked in the right of way, and we would say, well, in this situation, are we able to do that, or is it simply when there is a?
No, the plan. So they were asking for a parking exception. The parking exception had the Planning Commission wanted to go there. Could have simply been to acknowledge that you could park with some maybe changes to the interior of the garage, two cars in there at a reduced width, like.
Okay.
The gentleman came up here, and the representative for the project said, "City of San Luis's parking standard is different. You could fit that in here. You could fit 18.6 by 18.6." City of San Luis also has reduced parking aisle width requirements that make, if you're in a full-size truck, very difficult to get in and out of parking spaces for some of their shopping centers. So, do you want to go there? I don't know.
Okay.
There are other things that go into that, but certainly you could go down that road, and the exception could be to deal with the garage as it is. They're just, in this instance, a space in the driveway, and that's normally how we address these situations. Uh-huh. And
okay.
Yeah. Theoretically, and again, speaking theoretically, because I'm certainly not advocating it for this, I mean, theoretically, it's a conditional use permit, so it could be conditioned on making some of those changes, or alternatively, I guess the parking exception could simply be denied and say, you know, you guys figure it out and come back to us, you know, with a better design. So there are other options in a situation where we have a less tenable parking situation.
For this situation, it seems like there's more options available regardless of how you approve it. They probably could, with a little bit of work, fit two cars in there if they wanted to, as Chair Teff said. So.
But again, I mean, perhaps a more germane question for the future is, you know, do we in fact need to address the alternative use of existing two-car garages and where cars are actually parked rather than simply what's built there? However, I think we've come to a conclusion. Do we have a motion?
Let me give it a go here. make a motion to approve conditional use permit UPO 467 with the parking exception ADO 111 for the property 2926 Fir Avenue as presented by staff.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and we have a second on the table. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, could we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Sadowski?
Aye.
Commissioner Luer?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia?
Aye.
And Chairman Teft?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Very good. Congratulations. We have no new business, we have no unfinished business, so we will move on to Planning Commissioner comments. Any words of wisdom this evening?
I would like to, if it's possible, I was given a scholarship to the 2017 California Climate Change Symposium recently, and I talked to Scott, and because it's a policy issue, I was able to attend that conference with my wife, and it was really informative, especially with dynamics on what's going on in Washington with regard to climate change and that opinion, and what's happening here in California. So if it's maybe next meeting, if we can share some of our notes, I would say maybe a 10-minute, I don't have a PowerPoint or anything, but my wife was a former court reporter, so she takes better notes than I do, but you know, we could maybe present a couple of points that we thought were important and might be of interest to this commission.
Yeah, we could put you on at the front end under presentations for you guys. I think it'd be informative. I mean, I thought it was it was an interesting conference that he wanted to go to, and I definitely supported it. I thought it was worthwhile, you know, to help him out a little bit with that. So, yeah, getting a little bit of report back. I asked him to report back a little bit to the commission, so I think it's a good idea, worthwhile.
Thank you.
I assume everyone's in favor of that.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll put it on the agenda next time.
Thank you.
Great. And you're going to tell us what the heck's going on with the climate this winter, right?
A better question.
Any other comments this evening? No? Okay, then we'll move on to community development director comments.
I think you covered we have the special GPAC meeting. I was going to mention that, but you already did that for the 8th, 4 to 6 in the vets hall. Yeah, I know that's all I really had too. I didn't have anything else.
Yeah. Question. Hey, Scott, I guess I should have done this on the item before basically what I'm wondering is, where are we in the process for the haul out facility? Has there been any changes on that?
Council authorized at the last council meeting the harbor director, Eric Enersby, to release an RFQ for design build of a halt facility, likely in the location of the Triangle parking lot. And so we'll be going out to see if there's any interest from folks out there to do that. Conversely, if we don't get any, they'll probably look at doing a more robust feasibility study on that to see, you know, if it's financially viable. Certainly, over time, because the city owns the property, the financial viability thing can be held up by the city, depending on how we negotiate leases or sale of the property or what have you. The city can sort of help out with that to make it, you know, more of a financially feasible thing, even if it wouldn't otherwise maybe pencil. The city probably can work to that just for the benefit of the overall community. So we'll be going down that road, and we'll see what kind of interest we get from folks out there. I know Eric's got a list of folks he wants to send it to, and so stay tuned. I think it's getting released this week. So
great, yeah. Great.
Not to show my ignorance, but what's the difference between an RFQ and an RFP?
So request for proposals is give us a kind of design for what you would want to do there. Request for RFQ is a request for qualifications. And really that's you kind of put together a punch list of things that you might want to see in a haul-out facility, and you send that out to folks that sort of do that thing, and or you post them on our websites and you post it on RFQ websites and that type of thing, and see if there's folks that are that have done these before, have the qualifications, and then you can negotiate individually with them for what it would take to bring that forward. There's not as much expenditure of funds on their part to make that part happen, and then certainly you can go to the other piece if you need to later on to do an RFP if we wanted to, or you can negotiate single source with the person with the group that you choose. It's just it's a little easier. You know, it's a little bit of an easier way to work through the process of it and what it might look like, especially when you're dealing with use of city property. You will see our Public Works Department do RFQs frequently because they sort of know what they want and what they need to get, and so they don't need somebody to give them a 30%, you know, developed plan that they had to spend a bunch of money on. A bunch of folks come in, and you can negotiate with them, you know, just based on the qualifications that they've done that type of work elsewhere and can show you what that looked like.
Thank you. Okay. Well, then, seeing no further comments, we will adjourn to our next regular meeting, which will be held here at the Veterans Building on March 7th at 6 p.m. Thank you very much. Yeah.